Ever found yourself screaming at your kids over spilled cereal, then immediately wondering, who am I and how did I get here? You're not alone. Carla Naumbrag's How to Stop Losing Your Shit with Your Kids has become a lifeline for millions of parents caught in the cycle of explosive reactions. This refreshingly honest guide has earned praise from celebrities like Kristen Bell and parenting experts alike, becoming a cultural touchstone in an era when perfect parenting dominates social media. What makes this book revolutionary isn't just its practical advice, but its radical permission to be imperfect. As the New York Times noted, it's the parenting book for people who hate parenting books. Naumbrag, a clinical social worker and mother of two, doesn't just understand the science behind parental meltdowns, she's lived through the trenches herself. Her approach has sparked a movement of parents embracing self-compassion over perfection, creating ripples through modern parenting culture, and giving voice to what we've all felt but were afraid to admit. Sometimes we lose our cool with the people we love most. Losing your shit with your kids isn't a character flaw. It's a physiological response with specific characteristics, conveniently remembered by the acronym FART: feelings, intense emotions, automatic, unconscious reactions, reactive, triggered responses, and toxic, unnecessarily harsh. Like actual flatulence, these outbursts are completely normal, but can be managed with awareness. When you explode at your children, big emotions are driving the bus, not just anger, but fear, sadness, confusion, powerlessness, stress, embarrassment, guilt, or shame. Sometimes these feelings relate directly to your child's behavior. Sometimes they're completely unrelated. What matters is recognizing that losing your shit is an emotional reaction, not a rational one. Most importantly, these meltdowns aren't conscious choices. You don't wake up planning to scream at your kids over homework or dirty socks. These explosions stem from unconscious processes, often traceable to your own childhood experiences, how your parents lost their tempers with you. This explains why simply deciding not to lose your cool doesn't work. These reactions emerge from developmental, neurological, and biological processes, not logical decisions. Every parental explosion is reactive. There's always a trigger, even if it's not immediately obvious. Our brains haven't evolved to distinguish between physical dangers and emotional stressors, so we react to a child's defiance with the same intensity as we might to a physical threat. The key is identifying what you're actually reacting to. Not all strong reactions qualify as losing your shit. Yelling when your child darts into traffic is appropriate. Toxic explosions are unpredictable, disproportionate reactions that may include angry words, physical outbursts, personal attacks, shame, and blame. These rupture your connection with your child and create ongoing stress that makes future triggering more likely. Contrary to what Instagram suggests, not losing your shit doesn't mean perpetual patience and joy. You can have big feelings without reaching toxic levels. It's about having enough self-awareness to notice what's happening and make conscious choices rather than react impulsively. When you lose it with your kids, your brain is literally working against you. Understanding this neurological process is the first step toward changing it. Your prefrontal cortex, PFC, handles adult functions like planning and emotional regulation, but it gets tired with overuse, like a muscle that's been overworked. When triggered, your sympathetic nervous system activates the fight, flight, freeze, or freak out response, flooding your body with stress hormones while shutting down the unnecessary PFC. This evolutionary response made perfect sense for physical threats like predators, but is less helpful for today's psychological stressors, like a child's refusal to put on shoes. When your nervous system senses a threat, real or perceived, it immediately alerts your limbic system, activating your sympathetic nervous system. Your body floods with stress hormones, causing physical reactions like increased heart rate, faster breathing, and muscle tension. These reactions prepare you to fight, flee, freeze, or freak out. Unfortunately, this response also shuts down your prefrontal cortex, the adulting part of your brain, diverting energy to survival systems. parents may be especially wired for vigilance. Our buttons, nervous system, become bigger, brighter, and more sensitive when we're tired, stressed, or undernourished. Think of your buttons as your nervous system, and a trigger as anything that revs up that system, making your buttons bigger, brighter, more sensitive, and easier for your kids to push. And your children will push your buttons. They're genetically, evolutionarily, physiologically, developmentally, relationally, psychologically, and emotionally wired to jam their sticky little fingers into your buttons every chance they get. Rather than focusing on getting kids to stop pushing, do you really want to hinge your sanity on someone who licks walls? You need to learn what lights up your buttons and how to cool them down. The good news? Self-care activates your parasympathetic nervous system, creating more space between your current state and freaking out. This isn't about indulgence. It's neuroscience. For the purposes of managing your reactions, a trigger is anything that makes it more likely that you lose your shit with your kids. Triggers can be universal, affecting everyone, or unique, impacting just you. They can be chronic or acute. The more frequently your buttons are pushed, the more easily they'll be pushed in the future. Neurons that fire together wire together. It's entirely possible you're triggered at some point every single day without realizing it. Your nervous system evolved for survival, not insight. Fortunately, you can get better at noticing when your buttons have become especially sensitive by recognizing your tells, the thoughts, feelings, bodily sensations, and behaviors that emerge when you're triggered. Common tells include anxious thinking, physical tension, irritability, nitpicking, craving substances, reaching for your smartphone, rushing unnecessarily, and of course, losing your shit with your kids. Chronic exhaustion, multitasking while with your kids, anxiety, smartphones, major life changes, and chronic stress top the list of common parental triggers. Even seemingly benign activities like kids' soccer games can become trigger minefields when combined with hot sun, social pressure, boredom, and guilt about checking your phone. The key isn't eliminating all triggers, but learning to manage them through awareness, recognizing when you're triggered, acceptance, acknowledging reality rather than fighting it, and action, either fixing the trigger or learning to live with it. Parenting itself can be a major trigger, often revealing vulnerabilities related to your own childhood. Becoming a parent is a crisis that upends your entire life in ways you may not have been prepared for. The parent-child relationship can trigger unresolved issues from your own childhood experiences, especially if they were chaotic or difficult. Mental health challenges like anxiety and depression can also serve as significant triggers, making everyday parenting situations feel overwhelming. For many parents, these conditions may go undiagnosed, leaving them wondering why they feel constantly on edge. Multitasking is one of the most common and underappreciated causes of parental shit loss. Despite what we tell ourselves, multitasking isn't real. It's just rapid task switching that our bodies and awareness can't keep up with, leading to spilled noodles, misspelled words, and unflushed toilets. This creates stress, which can be defined as the belief that we cannot handle whatever is happening. Multitasking tricks us into thinking we're overwhelmed when we might be perfectly capable of handling each task individually. Research shows multitasking makes us more distracted, increases anxiety, dampens creativity, causes us to miss important cues, like noticing kids are hungry before they melt down, and actually makes us less efficient. Multitasking includes multi-thinking, having thoughts unrelated to your current task. For example, while teaching your anxious child to ride a bike, you might simultaneously monitor for cars, notice other kids zooming around, and worry about your child's future if they never learn to ride. This mental multitasking increases stress until you snap at your child, making the experience worse for everyone. The solution is to notice your exploding thoughts and focus on the present moment. Be cool with who your kid is right now and what they can do right now, or find someone else to teach them to ride. Single tasking, doing just one thing at a time, decreases anxiety and increases your belief that you got this. Here's a four-step process. 1. Notice you're multitasking. 2. Remember you can choose to do just one thing. 3. Decide if now is the time for single tasking. 4, carry on either way. When deciding whether to multitask, ask, are you already stressed or tired? Are there significant consequences if you mess up? Are you with your kids? Children take up more mental bandwidth than we realize, like opening all tabs on a computer until it freezes. Smartphones are multitasking machines designed to hijack your attention. They trigger parental meltdowns by showing terrible news, reminding you of undone tasks, or simply creating a reality that feels interrupted when your child needs you. Getting space from your phone is one of the most powerful parenting changes you can make. If you want to stop losing your cool with your kids, certain button reduction practices, burps, are absolutely essential. Sleep, support, and self-compassion. First, sleep. You cannot function on 5 hours per night, no matter what you tell yourself. You won't catch up on weekends. You're a parent, remember? And sleep when you're dead is a freshman year joke that needs to die. Sleep deprivation affects every aspect of your functioning, emotional, psychological, and physical. It impairs judgment, clouds thinking, destroys your mood, and makes losing your shit almost inevitable. You might as well be parenting drunk, not the happy kind, but the snappy, cranky, unaware kind of drunk. Go paleo with your sleep habits. Treat your bedroom like a cave, minus the saber-toothed tigers. Keep daytime for activity and brightness, nighttime for chill and darkness. Reading, crafting, cards, and puzzles are fine evening activities. Screens, intense shows, and anxiety-inducing activities aren't. Second, support. You cannot do this parenting thing alone. Your peeps are the people who don't make you feel crazy even when you're being crazy. They're real with you, telling you when your kid needs help without making you feel like a failure. If you feel calmer, more connected, and confident after spending time with them, they're your peeps. If you feel confused or ashamed afterward, they're probably not who you should call during your next parenting crisis. To build your support network, get clear about what you need, know your triggers and boundaries, ask for help, people aren't mind readers, show up at school pickups, practices, community events, respect your boundaries, it's okay to say no, and be kind whenever possible, without sacrificing your limits. Third, self-compassion. If this sounds corny to you, join the club. It's not about syrupy sweet forced self-love. It's simply noticing you're having a hard moment and responding with warmth rather than self-abuse. Most of us don't realize how brutal our internal monologues are until we pay attention. Based on Dr. Kristen Neff's work, try these 3 steps. First, notice when you're beating yourself up, without beating yourself up for beating yourself up. Second, respond to yourself as you would to a good friend, with kindness and perspective. Third, remember you're not alone. You're not the only parent who loses it with their kids. Self-compassion will feel weird at first, like speaking an unfamiliar language. If words won't come, do something nice for yourself instead. Remember, kindness is a skill that improves with practice. Clutter of any kind, physical stuff, excessive choices, busy schedules, information overload, and racing thoughts acts as a trigger for parents. Simplifying means reducing what overwhelms your system and puts you on edge. The less you have to manage, the calmer you'll feel, and the less likely you are to lose your cool. Physical clutter creates visual stress even when you're not actively dealing with it. Decreasing it reduces what you have to manage, makes finding things easier, and eliminates visual triggers. Strategies for managing children's belongings include not showing love through gifts, decluttering when kids are young, teaching older children to declutter their own spaces, implementing family declutter days, using compromise boxes for sentimental items, maintaining a donation box, and eliminating birthday party goodie bags. Too many choices create 2 problems. The paradox of choice, more options lead to more doubt and less satisfaction, and decision fatigue. Making too many decisions depletes mental energy. Solutions include limiting options for kids, delegating decisions to others, making choices during calmer moments, and creating non-negotiable family rules that eliminate the need for constant decisions. Overscheduling triggers stress for both parents and children. Simplify by declining invitations without guilt, considering the big picture before adding commitments, limiting children to 2 weekly activities, using carpools, recognizing that schedules change as children grow, and accepting that some tasks can wait until kids are older. Mental clutter, regretful, worried, or judgmental thoughts can trigger stress even in calm environments. While you can't control what thoughts appear, you can choose how to respond. The key is noticing when your mind is misbehaving and gaining perspective by remembering thoughts aren't reality. Strategies include focusing on present actions, singing, counting breaths, reciting poems or mantras, meditation, and practicing gratitude. Other essential practices include physical movement to release stress hormones, seeking silence by turning off background noise and instituting quiet time, slowing down instead of rushing unnecessarily, practicing gratitude to shift perspective during difficult moments, and breathing consciously to activate your parasympathetic nervous system. Taking time away from your kids is counterintuitively one of the most effective ways to avoid losing your shit with them. First, you can't explode at kids who aren't present. Second, space helps cool your buttons and calm you down after meltdowns. Despite modern parents spending more time with children than any previous generation, even those with full-time jobs, constant togetherness isn't ideal. Just as with other relationships, healthy parent-child connections require balance between togetherness and separation. Getting physical distance from your children is essential for maintaining your sanity. Start by letting others care for your kids, babysitters, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or joining a babysitting co-op if money is tight. Establish drop-off playdates rather than staying, and don't feel obligated to watch every practice or lesson. Embrace carpooling to reduce driving duties. Most importantly, when someone trustworthy offers to help with your kids, accept it without guilt. When physical separation isn't possible, create mental space instead. Either fully engage with your children or completely disengage. Multitasking is the enemy. Teach kids to wait their turn when you're busy. Follow Jack Black's advice. Don't give a happy child ice cream. If they're contentedly playing, leave them alone. Allow your children to experience boredom and solve their own problems. Don't referee every fight or take their behavior personally. Avoid power struggles with simple, asked and answered responses. Sometimes it helps to pretend they're someone else's kids to maintain perspective. Remember, they may be my monkeys, but this still ain't my circus. Despite all the preventative strategies, you'll still occasionally find yourself about to explode. Life happens. Sleepless nights, bad news, old habits, and sometimes your kids discover entirely new buttons to push. The key is to stop farting all over your kids, feelings, automatic reactions, and toxic behaviors with a 3-step approach. Notice, pause, and do literally anything else. Noticing is your superpower, the essential first step to prevent losing your shit. If you don't recognize you're about to flip out, you can't choose differently. While noticing comes easily when relaxed, it's much harder when triggered, as your prefrontal cortex, the grown-up brain, shuts down and your limbic system, inner toddler, takes over. Most explosions happen in predictable stages. First comes the trigger, anything from physical discomfort to emotional anniversaries that puts your buttons on high alert. Next is the transition phase, when your nervous system amps up, preparing for fight, flight, freeze, or freak out. This is your critical intervention window. Without intervention, you reach immersion, full-blown shit-losing with your adult brain offline. Eventually comes recovery, when you must reconnect with your child while avoiding re-triggering yourself. Noticing is a skill that improves with practice. Don't wait for crises to start developing your awareness muscles. Practice during calm moments when you're not triggered. Each time you catch yourself distracted or flooded by emotions, you strengthen the neural pathways that help you notice. When overwhelmed, focus on something concrete in the present moment, preferably something non-triggering. Notice your thoughts without judging them, identify your feelings without trying to change them, scan your body for tension, observe what you're actually doing, or simply focus on your breath. If noticing is a shift in awareness, pausing is a shift in behavior, the crucial first step towards staying calm. It's not about stopping permanently, but taking a temporary break. The pause can be brief or lengthy, depending on how intense the moment is. The closer you are to a meltdown, the more time you'll need. Once you've noticed you're heading toward a freakout and hit pause, your job is to do literally anything else that will A, calm you down, B, diffuse the moment, and C, redirect the tense energy. Don't pick something that might trigger you further, like wine or your smartphone, and remember, it's not about perfection, just about not losing your shit. After losing your shit, most parents fall into one of three unhelpful patterns: self-flagellation, beating yourself up with shame and guilt, overcompensation, apologizing profusely or offering treats without addressing what happened, or getting jaded, justify, argue, defend, explain, or dismiss. None of these approaches help you grow or change. Recovering from a meltdown isn't primarily about your kids. It's about you and your triggers. The first non-negotiable step is to fully calm down. Your body has been flooded with stress hormones, and it takes time for your parasympathetic nervous system to kick in and get your adulting brain back online. If you rush into reconnection while still triggered, you risk snapping instead of snuggling. Two strategies are particularly effective for calming down: self-compassion and curiosity. These aren't just more pleasant than self-criticism, they're more effective at preventing future explosions. Self-compassion isn't about ignoring the issue. It's about noticing your struggle, remembering you're not alone, and treating yourself with kindness to get into a better headspace for making better choices. There is absolutely no reason to punish yourself for losing your shit. It won't fix anything and will likely trigger you again. Curiosity is another powerful way to calm down. Getting curious about yourself, your triggers, and your loss of shit activates your adulting brain, treats you with compassion, and clarifies what happened and what to do differently. It's the opposite of beating yourself up or shutting down. Curiosity works not only because it's inherently kind, but because it helps gather useful information about what actually happened. Instead of leaping to unhelpful stories about how awful you are or what a punk your kid is, you might realize you haven't slept in days or your parents have been stressing you out about their holiday party. Despite this book focusing on you rather than your kids, reconnecting with them after a meltdown is crucial. Children get just as triggered as adults do, but their developing nervous systems mean chronic stress or frequent ruptures can have long-lasting effects. Start with a genuine apology. Yes, you can absolutely apologize to your child without undermining your authority. It strengthens your relationship, increases their respect for you, and models the behavior you want from them. A meaningful apology has three parts: take responsibility for your behavior, say you're sorry, and make a plan for moving forward. Reconnection goes beyond apologies. It's about attunement, getting in sync with what your child needs. Some kids want snuggles, others prefer games or books, and some need space. Respect their needs while also honoring your own. The final step is reflecting on what happened to reduce future explosions. What triggered you? How have you been with your self-care? What changes do you need to make? Be honest, but not judgmental. Curiosity and self-compassion will give you the clarity to move forward. Being an awesome parent and screwing up aren't mutually exclusive. Parenting is hard for everyone. Losing your shit isn't because you're bad, it's because you're human. You're always practicing something, whether intentionally or not. Progress, not perfection, is the goal. To make these principles work in your life, let go of unhelpful, bad parent, bad kid narratives. List your personal triggers and physical tells when you're about to lose it. Practice single tasking to reduce stress. Make concrete plans for managing triggers and getting space from your kids. Create a list of your literally anything else's for heated moments. Remember that even after losing it, you can practice self-compassion, get curious about what happened, and reconnect with your child. The bottom line? You don't have to be a perfect parent to be a great one. Even the best parents lose their shit sometimes. Keep breathing. You got this. Parenting is far too serious to be taken seriously. You're not trying to be the Dolly Mama. You're just trying to have a little more patience when your kid asks for a snack 20 minutes after refusing dinner. Every calm moment creates space to parent the way you want to. And when you do lose it, because you will, Remember that self-compassion is not just recovery, but preventative maintenance for the next challenging moment.